Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I had the chance to sit down and talk with conductor Michael Tilson Thomas when he was in town to lead the Philadelphia Orchestra in a program which featured Beethoven's Third Symphony. Beethoven himself was reported to have said this was his favorite symphony. I asked Tilson Thomas about the significance of this work in Beethoven's life.
The Third Symphony, the Eroica, was written after the time in which Beethoven came to grips with the fact that he was losing his hearing. And he contemplated suicide, as seems to be indicated by this note, the Heiligenstadt Testament, which is suggestive of that, but decided not to because he realized that he could reach out to people and communicate with them with his music in a way that transcended speech. And he also decided at that point to be, as a composer of works that were going to be on paper, as bold as he had been for some time as an improviser in the years before that. So that's what he was really doing with this piece. And also, he was introducing some major innovations as far as what takes place in a symphony. And some of you listeners probably have heard sometime that in like the first movement of a symphony, a sonata, there are these three parts. There's an exposition where the ideas are presented for the first time. There's a development section in which they bounce off one another and various things happen to them. And then there's the recapitulation in which they reappear. In Haydn, Mozart, for the most part, in the recapitulations, the themes did more or less reappear as they had first been heard. Beethoven took a more unusual step, which was to say, you experience certain things, you discover certain things, then you live through a period of travail, searching, whatever it is, development in your life. And then, even though these same ideas, these same things come back, they are not the same. They cannot be the same. You can never be the same as who you were earlier in your life. The experiences that you have do change you, and there's no getting beyond that. And that was psychologically a very revolutionary step for a composer to take in imagining that a piece of music could represent life in that way.
And I understand that he composed the last movement first with musical ideas he had used for dance and other works?
Beethoven used the thematic material of the last movement in a number of different pieces, most notably a set of contradances, and then as a gigantic set of variations for piano solo, and then finally as the last movement of this symphony. And there are various reasons why that might have happened, but the important thing about it is that the material seems very slight, very offhand, very unimportant, ordinary. But then he takes off on these flights of invention, which do extraordinary things with the themes. It takes you into all kinds of amazing realms of sometimes being in a church or being in Hungary or being in some kind of ballet class, maybe, or all kinds of things. And then it kind of stops, and then it presents the themes, these very ordinary themes, in a way that really is transfigured. And he makes them into some of the most noble music that anyone can imagine. And this was him saying, you know, I really am a composer. That's what I can do. I can compose music. And in a way, it almost doesn't matter what the material is. I can start with anything, no matter how slight, no matter how frivolous. And I can make it seem like the stuff of the meaning of the universe. How about that?
Well, thank you so much, Michael Tilson Thomas.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.